Amen. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord. We're going to look at a passage from one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 37. Just as a side note, go home and read Psalm 37 this week. Man, it's just so, come on, girl. It's so encouraging. Amen. And it just lets you know what's going to happen to all them people that are against you. Sometimes it feels good to know that, right? But it also tells you how the Lord is on your side. Amen. Psalm 37, let's go to verse 23. I'm going to read it from two different versions today. One that we're familiar with. The New King James tells us, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. Same verses from the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Amen. He delights, I love this, in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Amen. I don't know about you, but one thing I have learned over the years is that no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you assume, life is full of uncertainties, isn't it? You think one thing will happen, something else inevitably happens. The road of faith is a blessed one, and the longer that you live for God, the more you find it to be true, the more you know it to be true, but it certainly is not as straight or as smooth or as predictable as maybe you thought it would be, amen? But I'm gonna tell you, these verses today offer hope. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I love how the New Living Translation says it. The Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives. Now, I want to preach to you today, and probably part two of this message next week, ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. Amen. So if you don't have to be out of town next week, I'll look forward to giving you part two of this message next week. Ordered by the Lord. By the way, if you're watching online, God bless you. Glad you could join us today online. Amen. The steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. God is not only interested in our destination, but in every step that we take. But, you know, even as I say that, you might be wondering, how concerned is God really with what goes on in my everyday life? What is his degree of involvement? Does he really have a specific plan for what I do in my life? Amen. Is it just the big decisions, you know, the major choices like who do I marry? Do I go to college? What job should I take? Should I buy this house or should I rent this apartment? You know, no question, we all know that, and we've probably asked this question more than once. What is God's plan and purpose for my life? Somebody once said, I don't know who said it, but it's true. They said the two most important days of your life are the day that you're born and the day that you find out why. Amen? So as a believer, does God really order my steps? You know, every Christian will ask and wonder, God, just what exactly do you want me to do with the remainder of my life? Well, let me begin this two-part sermon by saying that after many years of serving the Lord, and this next statement comes only from years of experience, I have learned that his plan for my life is not as rigid as I once thought it was. I'm going to explain to you what I mean. His plans for us are way more fluid and conditional than what I thought when I was a younger man. See, I used to believe, there's a typo in my notes, it says I sued to believe. I didn't actually sue to believe this. I used to believe that God had this exact and precise plan and this exact and precise path and this exact way that I was to walk every single day. And if I deviated off just a little bit to the left or to the right, it was going to be catastrophic, and his will was something. But here I've learned, and much to my surprise, that just isn't the case. He gives you and he gives me a lot more say and a lot more leeway in the direction of your life than maybe you thought that he did. Amen. Now, I know this is going to cross some of your theology. That's all right. But if you're struggling with this way of thinking about the will of God for your life, let me support that line of thinking with Bible. Are you ready? Proverbs 16 and 9, three different ways. New King James, a man's heart plans his way, what? But the Lord directs his steps. Same verse from the NLT. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Same verse from the Message. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Amen? See, in other words, God lets us plan. God even lets us live in many ways the way that we want to live. But hear me, here's the caveat. But if you invite him in, come on, if you invite him into the picture and if you allow him to, he will direct those steps. Come on, and he will show you the best way. Everybody say the best way. The best way to live and all that you can do to live your life for the glory of God. God is not just this puppet master up there who's just moving your every step around. He allows you the latitude, guess what, to make good choices and bad choices. But if you invite him in and if you ask him into the picture, it makes a big difference in where you end up in life. Let me read you a short article I found all the way back when I was a young man, and I've kept it all these years, decades I've kept this article. And it really helped me understand this concept of I get to make my plans, but the Lord makes me able to live it. Yeah. It's called Driver's Ed and the Will of God. It was from Campus Life 1992. Let me just read you this article real quick. It's short. Here it is. Lord, there's too many options. Colleges, careers, people I could marry, places where I could live someday. How will I know which one is for me? All possibilities seem good. They lead somewhere I'd like to go and could be right for me. I glance one direction and say, this is the way I should go. But the next time I look, I see new opportunities down another road. How do I know the will of God? One day I stumbled on an image that helped me to understand. It's the first day of driver's ed, sophomore year. I take my place in the driver's seat of the white Ford Tempo and I grip the wheel as though one false move would send us over the brink. Relax, said the instructor. A road gives you a certain margin of error. That's what shoulders and medians are for. I cautiously pull into the street, my fears somewhat relieved. The lane is wider than I thought. Choose the route, Mr. Gibson says, as I come to a four-way stop. There's more than one way to get there. I turn left. Well, at least I'm heading in the right direction toward the county courthouse where we're going to practice our parallel parking. And today, as I sit squarely in the middle of indecision with good options spread out before me, I remember Mr. Gibson's words. Choose your route. There's more than one way to get there. I'm somewhat relieved. Maybe God's will is wider than I thought. I stopped trying so hard to figure it out and instead concentrate on doing what I've always done. Get up, go to school, go to practice, come home, do homework, go to bed, get up, and I stay in touch with God. If I know what he wants me to do today, I will know what he wants me to do tomorrow. I follow signposts that I can see rather than worry about the ones that I can't. I'm rejected by a certain college, but I'm accepted by another. The person I thought I loved breaks up with me. My best friend introduces me to her cousin, and then we click immediately. My boss in my part-time job, the kind of work I thought I might want to do forever, tells me he doesn't need me anymore. My uncle offers me summer work, and to my surprise, I like it. Then one day, after I've made a few major decisions which have turned out well, I look back and I realize God's will was something I did every day. Yeah. As for the options, God designed the map, but he leaves it to me to figure out the route. Mr. Gibson was right. When it came to getting to the county courthouse, the lane was wide, and there was more than one way to get there. The same is true with the will of God. Yeah. Amen. My steps are directed by the Lord. But hear me, the lane of life is wide, and there's more than one way to get to your final approved destination. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, as a young man, I used to be so fearful that I was going to deviate off the path and it was going to bring catastrophic destruction to my life. It's liberating to know that God gives us a little latitude, right? A little breathing room. Amen. I used to think that God's will was just rubber stamped and it was all pre-designed and mapped out to the last detail. My steps are ordered by the Lord, and so are yours if you're submitted to Him. But God gives you room on the journey. Amen. God actually gives us room to pursue our plans and our dreams and our desires. But again, don't miss this part. If, everybody say if. Yes. If we submit our lives to Him, He will direct and determine our steps, which I believe ultimately results, hear me, in a life well lived and enjoying the blessing and favor of the Lord. Amen. See, folks, that's a huge if. If you invite God in and you let Him direct you, you will end up at a place that you only dreamed that you could end up at. Amen? Amen? See, no matter what plan you come up with, hear me, nothing is better than the plan that God has for your life if you will direct, let Him direct and order your steps. It doesn't matter how old you are or young you are, no matter what you feel like you have or have not done in life, no matter how accomplished or not accomplished in your past you feel like your life has been to this point, you should constantly be asking this question: please order my steps, Lord. Amen. True success in life is trying to discern and learn God's will for your life and allowing your steps to follow His leading. Now, I want us to go back to our text today, and I want us to dig into these scriptures just a little bit. Are you ready? Let's go to Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." Let's start right there. The Lord directs the steps. Everybody say steps. Every day, you wake up, you rub your eyes, you yawn really big, and you swing, depending upon which side of the bed you're on, your left leg or your right leg out, and you begin to take the very first step of the day. Now, I don't know what your morning routine is like, but you plant your feet on the floor, and I don't do it every morning, but most mornings, right before I plant my feet on the floor, I say, "Good morning, Jesus, bless this day. Help me today." You plant your feet and your day begins. We take steps, right? Not just the physical ones that get us walking, but we also start the day with emotional steps, spiritual steps, amen, relational steps. Some steps are planned in your day. Some steps end up feeling forced. Some steps sometimes feel confusing. But the Bible tells us something that is powerfully affirming today for believers. Our steps are not random. They are ordered by the Lord. Now, my last several sermons have been coming to me by quiet, almost whispered voices from the Lord in my devotional time. And this one was no different. Last week, He just told me, He said, "Your steps are ordered by me." I came here today, and I am preaching this message today to remind somebody, hear me, God is intimately involved in your journey. I'm just going to slowly peruse the crowd and lock eyes with as many as you of you as I can. Hear me, God is intimately involved in your journey. He not only knows the path, He's directing each step you take if you allow Him to. Steps. The word literally means, implies movement or progression. Steps, by definition, means a movement made by lifting your foot and putting it down in a different place. Steps can also mean to advance or to progress. How many of you, this is not a trick question, how many of you try to get in a little bit of walking every day? Oh, Lord, we need to do a health and wellness seminar up in here. All right, I got to try that again. I'm hoping y'all are just being lazy. Now that you're awake, how many of you try to at least get a little bit of steps in every day? I'm going to be preaching some funerals. Oh, yeah, I can't believe you said that. Yeah, you keep setting. You keep setting all the time. You're going to find out. Hallelujah. All right, how many of you keep track of your step count every day? Now, I know not everybody has to do that, right? Some of you, okay, good, good, good. Now, many years ago, I used to wear Fitbit. Y'all remember those? Amen. It's a device that tracks your steps. Robin and I did it. Man, we were on a Fitbit kick for a few years there. And we tried our best to get our, somebody shout the number. 10,000. Try to get our 10,000 steps in. I mean, folks, I'm going to just tell you, we got religious about it. We got a little fanatical about it. We really did. I remember on more than one occasion being 400, 500, 600 steps short, looking at my watch, and it was 11:45, and we were, I'm not joking, we would run right out in our driveway. It's 11:57, you better hurry. You think I'm joking, we really did, we did it. Trying to get that midnight, get that 10,000 mark. I know we probably look like goofballs walking up and down our driveway at midnight. Oh, by the way, you want to know what real freedom is? Getting to the age where you don't care if you look like a goofball. Deal with it, amen. That's right. Hallelujah. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free. Go ahead and laugh. I don't care what you think about me. Amen. I got to find my notes. I don't know where I'm at. Amen. But here's what I know. In order to hit 10,000, guess what? You had to start with number one. And you better make sure you charge that Fitbit too. In order to hit 10,000, you had to keep walking after step one. And you had to be intentional, hear me, to keep stepping. Amen. I have a standing desk in my office. I've got one that allows me to stand for as long as I want to. And if I want to sit, it electronically it'll raise up and down depending upon how I feel or what mood I'm in or how tired I am. Sometimes I stand all day. Sometimes I don't stand at all. I just sit right in the chair. But movement is important. But I want you to understand something. Movement in your walk with God is important too. Intentional steps are important in your walk with God. Here's what I want. Are you tracking your steps? Now, I don't mean how many, but I mean what direction your life is stepping in right now. Are you just wandering aimlessly through life? Or are you inviting God every day? Somebody say every day. Come on, I'm going to drill this down these next 2 weeks. Are you inviting God every day to lead and guide your choices, your decisions, your steps? Amen. When God says that he will order our steps, it implies that we are the ones taking the steps. Well, I'm just waiting for God to show me what to do. I'm just going to stand here until God shows me what to do. You know, but you got to be willing to be intentional to follow his plan one directive at a time. Come on, one day at a time, advancing, attempting to make forward progress. Somebody once said it this way, you can't steer a parked car. Have you ever gotten to a car before you turn it on and try to turn the wheel? You can't steer a parked car. Let me tell you what else I know to be true. You can't steer a parked person either. Amen? The only way to progress and to move forward in your life is to allow God's directives into your life. Amen. So let me stop and ask you this right now. What is God asking you to allow him to lead you in right now? He keeps trying to direct you, but for whatever reason, you keep choosing the alternate route. Amen. Now, if you answered that question quickly, great. But if you couldn't come up with an answer, you need to stop and think about it for a minute. I'm going to ask you again, what is God asking you to allow him to lead you in right now? What step is your next step that needs to be in alignment with God's plan for your life? Is it time to maybe start tithing faithfully? Is that your next step? Is it time to start praying or reading God's word on a daily basis? Is it time to change how you treat your kids? Is God talking to you about how you're speaking to your spouse? Is it time to forgive somebody that hurts you so you can finally move on in life? What step is he asking you to let him lead you in? Is it time to change your lifestyle habits? All of you who've refused to raise your hand this morning. In order to get healthier, is it time to sign up for a class online? Is your next step to see a counselor for whatever reason? Is your next step to finally stop drinking or smoking or partying? Is your next step to take control over your attitude and be a more loving, positive person? Amen. Can I just tell you, anybody over the age of 20, you're responsible for your attitude. I'm wired this way. No, you're not. You need to unwire. You need to take control. Come on, somebody. You need the fruit of the Spirit in your life. What step, what area is God trying to lead you in? Is your next step to take control over your finances? Maybe. Get out of debt or start saving. What is the next step? See, folks, if you don't have an answer, hear me. Can I say this in love? Get comfortable being stuck where you are. If you can't answer that question, what area is God wanting to lead me in next? You need to pray and ask God, I need you to show me. Because I know you're talking to me, but I've been missing the signals. I haven't got the message. I did not get the memo. I forgot to read the email. What area are you trying to direct me in? See, we understand the process of steps, right? And all these other areas of life that I just mentioned. But in reality, hear me, that's what your entire life as a believer is all about. Steps that are ordered by the Lord, that over the accumulation of days and weeks and months and years cause you to end up where you are later in life. I've got a perspective advantage being a man in my late 50s who have served the Lord since I was a teenager. I do. I've got an advantage. Hindsight is beautiful. And I've learned by asking him to direct my steps since I was a teenager, I've got a perspective and I'd like to share it with you. Are you ready? Here's what I know. The marriage that I have right now, whether it's good or bad, and thank God mine is good. I'm thankful for that. But you know, we're going to celebrate 35 years in just a couple months. Amen. But guess what I know? The marriage we have after 35 years is the result of thousands of days of being together and making deliberate choices that have shaped who we are as a couple today, and not just decisions we made, steps that we have allowed to be ordered by the Lord. Amen? And the same is true for you. It didn't just happen. It's thousands of days and millions of steps that have gotten us to where we are today. Countless course corrections. Yeah, we can admit that. Things that were directed by the Lord that has produced exponential blessings over decades of marriage. My marriage is ordered by the Lord. My finances today, they're the result of thousands of steps and choices and paths and decisions, some good, some not good, that we have taken over the years, steps that have got us to where we are today. In no particular order, I've worked as a tomato picker all summer long. I've worked as a roofer. I've worked as a printer. I've been an electrician. I was a vacuum cleaner salesman. Oh, yeah, amen. Thank God I don't have to do that anymore. Amen. I was a grocery store bagger at the Piggly Wiggly. Amen. Amen. I washed dishes in a restaurant. I've been a realtor, a pastor. I was a kitchen line cook for 2 years. My financial steps are ordered by the Lord. And all those years of all those jobs. And you know what? Every little deviation, I think, was part of God's plan in my life. My relationship steps are ordered by the Lord. You know why? Because I've asked God to intervene in my relationships. And guess what I've learned? Some of the people that I have relationships in my 20s, in my 30s, now in my 50s, they are just a distant memory. And it's painful sometimes, and I get nostalgic. And one thing about being old that's not any fun, you start thinking about the good old days. And you're forgetting that they really weren't that good. Your brain, just, and this is actual truth, your brain has a way of suppressing all the negative stuff. And so the good old days, they weren't as good as you thought they were. Amen. My relational steps are ordered by the Lord. My relationships with my daughters, my friends, my coworkers, They're really the result of thousands of steps. Hear me, folks. Choices, conversations, decisions, interactions, apologies, good words, uplifting words, conflict. All of these things, the cumulative effect. But hear me, when you submit them in obedience to Christ, they can result in God's favor and his blessing in your life. See, some of you right now, you're struggling with, is God really leading me? Is God really guiding me? I got to ask you that question. Are you allowing him to lead you on that path? I have learned that there's so many ways to have gotten to where I am in this season of my life. Amen. But because I've asked the Lord to guide me and to lead my steps, I truly believe that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And now I'm enjoying the fruit of that path. Let me ask you this. Have you ever entered a destination on your Maps app, and instead of it just giving you one obvious way, it gives you three different ways to get to where you want to go? Now, when it does that, I have to stop and think and look. Like, okay, that way is 4 minutes longer, but I can avoid the interstate. That way is 7 minutes longer, but I can avoid the toll roads. That way is, but here's what I know. Guess what? None of them are the wrong way. But one of them is the best way. And guess what? Depending upon the traffic that day, one of them may not be the best way for that season of my life. Come on, I want to help you today. This is not as complicated as we make it out to be. One destination, three ways to get there. But you get to choose. You get to choose. And then when you select the route, if you miss a turn or you decide to stop for coffee, amen, the map app will redirect you back onto the right path. Now, I don't know about you, whenever I take an exit off, and I use my map app all the time. I will use my map app when I go south of the border to Chesterfield. I just like to know where I'm going, when I'm going to get there. I like to see if I can shave a minute or two off of the destination time. But you know what? I always turn it off when I stop to get coffee or stop to do whatever, because I can't stand here and that thing recalculate, right? Reroute or make you do the whole thing. Here's the thing. But if you are willing to follow the directions, hear me, the Lord will do the same in your life. God will give you turn-by-turn directions. Sometimes he'll give you three routes to get there. But you know what I love? He stays with you even when you decide to take a detour. He stays with you even when you all of a sudden decide, I'm going to go the scenic route. He stays with you even when you mess up and now you're headed to divorce court. He stays with you when you make a dumb decision financially and now you're filing for bankruptcy. He stays with you when stuff happens that you had no control over. You got sick or you got laid off. Or you had some, come on, God stays with you the whole time. And if you will allow him to, he says, I will direct your steps. I will direct your steps. I will direct your steps. In other words, I will show you how to get to where you need to be, but you just got to trust me. And here's one of the blessings of living that way that I found in our next verse, Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Look at verse 24. Though they stumble. If I was writing it, I would have said, when they stumble, they will never fall. Why? Because the Lord holds them by the hand. Now, don't forget, the Lord's holding you by the hand because you've invited him into that place, into your life. And if you want the provision of not stumbling, you've got to accept the responsibility of hand-holding. Amen? And you've got to let God direct your steps. Even when you stumble, the Lord holds you by your hand. Maybe somebody else called you to stumble. Maybe you lose your job, you get sick, your spouse quits on you. Though you stumble, hallelujah, you won't fall. Maybe you stumble because it's your fault. You got weak, you got distracted, you took your eye off the ball. Though you stumble, They will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Amen. Even the stumbles, even the trip-ups, even the slip-ups, they're part of your story. Even when those things happened, you're not abandoned and you're not forgotten. You just recalibrate, you recalculate, and you get back on the path, because when you ultimately submit to him, he will direct your steps. You know what the thing is that I don't like about steps? It is a slow process. Amen. I've got a little path that I like to walk when I'm at home. I don't do it all the time. I get on kicks. How many of y'all know that? You'll do terrible for months, and all of a sudden you wake up, and this is the week I'm going to get healthy. But I already know. I know how long it will take me to get there. I know how long the path is. I know how many steps it is. I don't even have to wear my watch or look at my phone anymore. I know if I walk to this point and back, it's going to be 3.19 miles, and it's going to take me just under an hour to do it. I know. I've calculated it out. I know what it is. But you know what I don't like about it? There's no way to speed that up. There's no way to turn 7,600 steps into 8,000. I can't do it. That's just how it is. But God leads us one step at a time. And you know what, folks, in life, that requires trust. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what? A light or a flashlight is great, but they're limited. They're limited because they cannot illuminate your entire journey. Amen? Just one small area right in front of your feet. Have you ever driven on a winding road and you get to a certain place in the road and you can't see around the next turn? What do? You don't just stop your car, turn around. There's a curve. I don't know where that's going. Let's go back, honey. No, you know what you do? You proceed with caution. You navigate responsibly. And you encounter the road that is before you. And you trust this curve is just part of the destination, the journey to get me to where I'm going. I hope I'm helping somebody here today. Don't get hung up in the curves. Don't get hung up in the detours. Amen? Proceed with caution and awareness. Because even if you can't see the full road of life that is ahead of you, God is guiding your next step. He rarely shows us the whole picture. You know why? We can't handle the whole picture. You can't. You think you can. You can't. So you know what he does? He reveals steps. My grandson Mason likes to skip two or three steps when we walk up the stairs of my house. I mean, it's just like he just jumps over steps. Sometimes when we're walking down, he likes to leap over four or five steps down to the next landing. I call it step avoidance. You know what? I stopped doing that many years ago because wisdom has taught me you cannot leap through life and skip steps without getting hurt. Amen. Did you notice that the text doesn't say he orders my leaps? He orders my steps. Because there's some things you can't leap over. You can't jump over. You can't dig a tunnel under. You've just got to step through it. Let's look at another part of that verse. I'm almost done. The steps of a what? A good man. Different translations of the Bible say good man in different ways. NIV, the one who delights in him. New Living Translation, the steps of the godly. Good News Translation, the good man is those who please him. How do I become a good man or a good woman? Well, first of all, good news is this. It's not about perfection. Amen? It's not about your performance. That's another thing I've had to learn over the years. It's not about your good works. It's about a right and being in a right relationship with God. Amen? A good man here is someone who has yielded to the Lord, who is humble and obedient and is seeking God's will. That's what a good man is. I'm submitted and I'm listening for his voice. The term good man in Hebrew is the word gever, which refers to a person who is righteous or upright. Now that does not mean sinless, but it means committed to walking with God. Your goodness is not self-made. It comes from God. through a relationship with God, amen? God doesn't promise to direct the steps of those who ignore him, but he promises to direct the steps of those who walk with him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Submit to him. Don't miss this. And he will make your path straight. That's how he orders your steps. So what makes a person good? Might be easier to just tell you what being good is not. Right? A person isn't good just because they quit doing drugs, right? Or they stop drinking, or they don't cuss anymore, or they don't act like a heathen. That doesn't make you good, amen? We're not good because we're law-abiding citizens, or we vote every election cycle. That doesn't make you good. We're not good just because we got our lives cleaned up, or our mouths cleaned up, or our attitudes cleaned up, amen? Matter of fact, this is what Paul said in Romans about us being good. Romans 3 and 10. As the scripture says, no one is righteous. Not even one. So what makes us good? You become good when you become a child of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. How do I get good? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. What? The old life is gone. Here it is. A new life has begun. I don't have time to preach about this today, but sanctification is a three-part process. You get endued with a measure of holiness and sanctification when you become a child of God. Then we have a responsibility to live in the present, pursuing a holy life, pursuing sanctification. But the ultimate sanctification is going to be when the rapture of the church takes place and we get to heaven and our bodies are changed and we are in the presence of God. That's when you're really going to be good. Amen. See, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. The righteousness of God gets in me and on me. And I begin to step in the right direction. Don't miss your responsibility in this picture. Amen. I receive an impartation of his holiness. It's not mine. And then I begin to serve God with my whole heart. I'm not sinless, but I am righteous in God's eyes. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Watch who you hang with. Watch who you walk with. Watch who you talk with. Verse 2, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on his law day and night. Day and night. 11:57. Day and night. Musicians, come on up. Why don't you stand with me all over this room? So last point real fast. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered. Everybody say ordered. Ordered. We've talked about what steps are. We've talked about what good is. What does it mean to say our steps are ordered by the Lord? Ordered means established, directed, set in place. Hear me, your steps are not chaotic. They're not random. Well, Pastor, I thought you said God gives us a wide path. He does. But if you allow him to direct you, there's going to be some order. And there's going to be a framework. And there's going to be a plan. And there's going to be a map to get you where God wants you to be. God has a divine blueprint for your life. Amen? I already mentioned earlier, Proverbs 16 and 9 says, the Lord lets us make our plans, but the Lord orders or directs our steps. In other words, God directs us in both the visible and the invisible realms. He presides over us as far as we will allow him to. You know, but the problem is here, when a lot of people don't cooperate with his will, and when we allow the natural consequences of life to, and you'll see it. If you don't cooperate with God's will, you will see the consequences of wrong choices being played out in your life. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It's just how life works. It's how God works. But for those who will cooperate with his will, God will guide us. So how do we let him order our steps? Come back next week. I'm going to talk to you about that. Amen. How do you let him order your steps? I'm going to give you a plan next week. Okay, I hear you, Pastor, but what do I do if I've already messed up and I've gotten off the path? What if I've gotten so far away from the path, I don't even know where it is? What do I do? Real simple. Lord, today, I ask you to once again take control of the path of my life. I want you to help me to make God-honoring choices, God-honoring decisions. I want you to give me an awareness of maybe what it is in my life that's not pleasing to you or is not holy. I want you to help me, God. I'm listening. I'm asking you. I'm inviting you to show me the path. Because I know if I do this today, and I do it next week, and I do it next month, and I do it next year, one day, years or decades from now, I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, look what the Lord has done. Ah! Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. The truth is that every once in a while, a good person gets sidetracked. Throughout the Bible, there's a lot of people that messed up. Noah was a good man, but he got drunk and he created a mess in his family. Moses was a good man, but he killed a man and went into exile because of it. David was a good man, but he committed adultery. You know his story. Peter was a good man, but on more than one occasion, he let his temper get the best of him. Tried to chop a guy's ear off. I think he was trying to chop his head off. Oh, got my ear. I don't know what he was doing. Anytime you pull out a sword and swing at a man's head, you are not right. Amen. But hear me. Noah, Moses, King David, Peter, you, me. We all mess up too. Romans 3 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here's what I want to do. I want to invite you right now today to just get back on the path. Say, well, I'm already on the path. Great. Commit to the path. And just invite the Lord. Say, Lord, this is a brand new day. I'm so glad I came to church today, God, because this is my day to close the map, to swipe through all the open apps, to go back to the map, and to punch in the destination again and hit go. And then, Lord, I just want to see, what are my options? But God, I'm going to choose one of the paths that you set before me. So the team's going to get ready to sing, and I want to invite you to step out from where you are right now and say, God, I'm ready to recalibrate. I'm ready to put my Fitbit back on, God, and I'm ready to start counting my steps, my financial steps, my relationship steps, my spiritual steps, my emotional steps. God, I'm ready to commit this path to you today. Would you come? Go ahead, team. Come on, this is a great opportunity to make a fresh start today. I commit my job to you. I commit my marriage to you. I commit my life to you. Lord, and I trust you to lead me and guide me. I'm not worried about plan B or plan C or plan D or plan E. As long as you're in it, God, it's going to be a winning plan. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's it. Yes, God, I trust you today. Come on, somebody in this room right now, you feel like God's done with you. He's not done. Let him make a fresh start today in your life. That's it. You are not damaged goods. You are a child of God. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. scripture that I read said, take me your hand. The scripture that I read said that if you invite him to, you won't stumble, you won't fall, because the Lord takes you by the hand. And you know, one day, if you continue to walk with him long enough, one day you're going to turn to him and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Started on my journey. I thank you for this today, God. And we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.